Good morning. What a great joy it is to look out and to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day, celebrating the multitude of gifts and blessings that indeed comes to us from Almighty God. As we kick off the fall program and the Sunday school program began this day and all of the other joys and celebrations of kids going back to school, and the coolness, may we indeed experience the blessings of Almighty God. And as we do so, may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
I just told Diane when she stopped playing, that was everyone's hint to get back to their seats, and said, it's not working. Offer a very, very warm welcome to all of you, and particularly if you're visiting with us today, we want to make sure that we have your name and address so that we can welcome you properly. If you are visiting and aren't with anyone that you know in the church, please make yourself known. And if you see anyone who is a visitor, please make yourself known to them and welcome them to our congregation. Some announcements. Please don't forget to read your bulletin because there are a lot of things going on, particularly now that the Sunday school season is in full swing. Also, take note that our time for sharing our talents, part of the stewardship program, is coming up again. And if you were involved in that last year, you know how much fun it was to multiply your talents and start thinking about what you can do to help our church in this way. Diane has an announcement.
We are in desperate need at this point of adult singers and ringers on Thursdays. If you would like to give handbells a try, please just come at 6:15. If you would like to offer your talent of singing, whether or not you can read music, you don't need to. Please come for 7:15 for choir practice. My last announcement here is for children and youth. Any children or youth who might like to find out more about the singing or ringing program here at the church, if you would come down to the front pews right after this service, and we'll have a brief meeting, and I can fill everybody in on what's going on. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? Thank you.
Two quick ones. Number one, on the bottom of part of the announcements, you'll see, please come, all are welcome. Mark your calendars for a couple dates. On Wednesday, September 23rd at 7 p.m., John, our conference secretary, and I would say our statistician, he is good at reading and interpreting charts and graphs and information, and he's going to be here to have a conversation with us that we might learn about the population makeup of our area. For instance, when I heard the beginning of this back in, there was still snow on the ground. That'll be the best way to date it. I was linked up, encouraged to sit next to a pastor in my area. And so I sat next to Ray at Circleville Church. And our statistics are very different. About 97% of the community around Circleville Church are moms and dads with families. That's his largest makeup, 97%. Our largest makeup is like 47% moms, single moms with children. That's the largest percentage in our area. Just floored me. And we are doing absolutely nothing for single moms with children. And so John will be able to come, and we can have a time of question and answer and learning. And then after a few weeks of allowing that information to take root and to percolate, then Amy will be coming on Tuesday, October 7th, at 7 p.m., and she is a the church growth and I forget exactly her conference at the her title at the conference center, but she'll then lead us in a time of brainstorming with what we feel called to do as new ministries or reactivating old ministries in the life of the Irwin Church. So mark both of those dates. You're all welcome to come. And to share in that giving and taking of information. And also this coming Thursday, the disciple class under the Tree of Life, we will be meeting in the Narthex room at 7 o'clock. 32 weeks. There are some booklets out there. If you want to take the class, you don't want this little book. There's about a half a dozen large books there on the table. That's the one you want to take and have lesson one read by Thursday evening of this week. Thank you.
Please look at your bulletin for items that may be of interest to you. At this time, let's begin our worship service. Would you please stand for the call to worship and then remain standing through our praise hymn of number 421, following along in your bulletin. The heavens are telling the glory of God.
Day pours forth speech and night declares knowledge.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple.
More to be desired than they are gold.
Sing to the wisdom of the ages.
Join the heavens in telling the glory of God. Eternal God, the voice of the heavens declares your glory and rejoices in your precepts. As we proclaim our faith in your Son, help us embrace the more difficult journey of turning our minds from human things to focus on heavenly matters. May we be found faithful when wisdom comes. comes to all. Amen.
Be seated as the kids come up for the children's sermon. Good morning. How's everyone today? So is school going well? Yeah. Have you had any tests yet?
I have.
Oh, how'd you do?
I got an A+.
A+? How'd you do? Good? All right. Haven't had one yet? No, they'll be coming.
No, but we tested our brain
You've been testing your brains? Yes. So if I were to ask you, who are you? What would you tell me? Who are you? Who are you?
I'm Hannah.
You're Hannah. Who are you? Who are you?
He doesn't know.
Who are you?
Charles.
Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And who are you? And who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Yeah. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, who are people saying I am? I don't know. You're Jesus. That's your name. But Jesus was more than that. Who was he? Who is he? The most powerful person ever. Yes. He's God's son. And does Jesus say, do whatever you want? What does Jesus say? Follow me. Jesus says, follow me. I don't know if the most powerful person in the world says, follow me. I think we better follow. Yes. And so Jesus every day wants us to follow him and follow the teachings that he gives to us. Whether we're in church, outside playing, at school, in the grocery store, at the mall or shopping, always wants us to follow him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are grateful. And we pray that we will see Jesus as the most powerful person in the world. And when he says, come and follow me, might we listen and follow him. Bless these boys and girls, their families, and all of those who care for them during this week. Might they be blessed by you. For it's in Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Diane and choir. It was beautiful. Our responsive reading is on page 750. It's the 19th Psalm. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them God has sent a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and runs its course with joy like a strong man. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and the earth shall not hid from my feet. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is true, making wise the soul. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
Pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold.
Sweeter also than honey, and the fruits of the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward.
But who can understand one's own errors? Clear me from false.
Also keep your servant from the insolent. Let them not have dominion over me.
The man shall be blameless and innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord.
Will the ushers please come forward for our tithes and our offerings? God, we rejoice in your goodness. You sent your Son Jesus to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He reveals your way of self-giving hope. Help us to set our minds on divine things. May our lives contribute to the spread of your good news, which is of ultimate importance. We ask this for the sake of Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated. We come to that time to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations in our midst. If you turn on the back of our worship folder, you will see our prayer list there for this week. Those individuals listed on the hospital, Laura and Jean. Those in our personal care rehabilitation centers. Those that we continually have been praying for, as well as the list that rotates on and off during the beginning and ending of a new month, and our service personnel. And then there at the bottom, a ministry to those that are homebound who would like to have a ride to church, if you would be willing to pick them up. Either jot that on a card and give it to me, or I guess the offering's already taken, so you can't put it on that in there. And just get the information to me or the church office so that we would know that. Here's also a new one. Please pray for Jody. She goes through acute rehab as a result of a brain hemorrhage. So we'll want to remember her in this time as well. I'm sure we could all add something to this list, whether it be personally connected to us or somehow in the life of the world. So let's remember those joys and concerns, hurts and needs, as well as we are confronted with them. Our prayer hymn this morning, number 415. Let us unite our hearts, our spirits, and our voices in Take Up Thy Cross. Gracious and loving God, your presence has touched our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. You've touched us in recent days. You've touched us years ago. But because of that, we are here. And we come not only to be in your presence, not only to worship you and to praise you and to thank you, but you also call us to be in fellowship with one another. You call us to gather together as your community, the church. You call us then, O God, to go from this place out into the world, our places of work and play, to be your church, to be your servants, to be your disciples, to pick up our cross daily, to go and to be, to do. Oh God, the tasks that are before us vary according to each of us as individuals. And we know that we never go alone, that your Spirit is with us, and you have even promised us, oh God, that your Spirit would go before us. And so as we go forth from this place today, you are already where we are going to go. And may we have a sense of peace and comfort, O God, in being reminded of this and knowing this. Your Son, Jesus Christ, came and lived in our midst to be one of us and to be our teaching example. You call us to go and to do likewise. You call us to lift up joys and concerns, hurts and needs. You call us to pray that lives might be changed and transformed and made new. You call us to experience grace and forgiveness and to offer that to the world as well. Oh God, we pray for the leadings of your Spirit. We pray for the mission and ministry that is represented here by each family, each individual. And we pray for us that we faithfully might represent your church. Continue, O God, to bless us. Continue, O God, to use us. Continue to allow the power and the presence of Christ to shine and radiate forth from within us, that others might experience and receive the good news of Christ our Lord. For it is in his holy and precious name that we pray, as we unite our voices together in the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we make preparations to hear Mark's gospel for us this day, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words in the Scriptures, for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives. We are thankful for the many servants that recorded these words. We are thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived them, who spoke them, who has shared them. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, give us a sense of peace and rest and comfort from our daily lives and schedules. And now, O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. For in Christ we pray. Amen. This is one of the passages that I enjoy preaching a little differently. If I were to have you stand for the gospel reading, you would stand, sit, stand, and sit. So you're just going to stay seated today. This morning's scripture is a turning point in Mark's gospel. Jesus is introducing to his disciples what's called the coming of the Passion, the coming of that journey to Jerusalem for Holy Week. And it begins his movement towards Jerusalem. And so listen and hear these words that begin with verse 27 of chapter 8. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Now, by this time, there's been a lot of conversation about Jesus and who he is. But Jesus wants to know, what is the word out on the street? What are the disciples hearing? Many people have been asking, who is he? What is his mission? And there were all kinds of different hopes and expectations of who and what the Messiah for Israel was to be. Is this Jesus the one? The confessions of the people's view of Jesus all say one thing about him. They at least think Jesus is the forerunner to the Messiah. After all, it is easier to believe that the Messiah will come than it is to believe that the Messiah has come. To keep Messiah as something that is not yet here, that has not yet arrived, means that everything in our daily lives and living gets to stay the same. But to believe that the Messiah is present here in our midst, well, that requires us to change, to alter our demands of daily life and living, to have a new lifestyle. And so Jesus then makes the question a little more personal. Who do you say that I am? Now, Peter's always the one that is a little more anxious to speak than he is to think first. And he blurts out of his mouth, "You are the Messiah." He has said it. It's out in the open. Perhaps it was on the minds of all of the disciples, but they just weren't yet ready to publicly proclaim that in front of the other disciples. Jesus must be the Messiah. But Peter dared to admit it. And the disciples had been with Jesus and watching him for some time over the last couple of years. They were convinced that he was a different leader, a chosen leader sent by God. Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" The scriptures continue. And then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great sufferings and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Jesus said all of this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciple, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Rejection and suffering is not something that we usually go after. It's something that we try to avoid at all costs. And so when Jesus starts talking about rejection and suffering at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, this is more than Peter can handle. He's got to speak out. And Peter may have fallen into the same trap as Jesus' relatives. Well, maybe he tripped and stumbled and hit his head on a rock. There's something going on a little different. Maybe Jesus needs to be exercised. Maybe there's something going on there we're just not quite aware of. And so Peter has just confessed previously that Jesus is the Messiah, and now Peter is challenging Jesus on what it means. Peter has already forgotten who Jesus is. But Peter probably has his own view or picture of what the Messiah is to be. And this suffering Jesus at the hands of the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees just does not fit Peter's picture. Now, even without all of this sharp language, anyone growing up in a traditional society would know that a student does not treat the teacher this way. Children don't treat their moms and dads this way. But Jesus' reaction is swift to Peter, and he refers to him as Satan. And we're reminded then of how Mark's gospel began with the temptations of Jesus through Satan, and Satan left for an opportune time. Jesus Christ was and is a loyal and faithful follower to his mission and ministry to the world. Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And then he called the crowd to come together with his disciples, and he said to them, "Look, if any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? For those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The disciples have participated in Jesus' ministry of healing and preaching. And now they have to discover that they also are to participate in the ministry of his suffering. And anyone who attempts to call the world into account before the gospel and the teachings of Jesus Christ must be ready to sacrifice self-interest. The path of self-denial is not for just the 12 disciples alone. Jesus calls us to more than self-denial. He calls us to put others first. Jesus calls for a personal devotion, a positive devotion to Him and to the good news that He brings into the world. Jesus Christ came into the world to live as one of us, to be our teacher and our example, to live and to share the good news of Almighty God. And Jesus came that we might have life and have that abundant new life. The vision of Jesus Christ was that of the people picking up their crosses and living for the mission and ministry of Christ, that it might then ripple and spread throughout all the world. Just as we drop that pebble in a puddle and those ripples go to the shoreways of that whole body of water. Oh, what a vision, what a calling. Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" Came upon a story that said some 350 years ago, a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. The first year they established a town. The next year they elected a town government. The third year the government planned to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. In the fourth year, the people tried to impeach their town government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles into the wilderness. Who needed to go there anyway? Here were a group of people who had seen or who had traveled 3,000 miles across an ocean, had overcome great hardship. But in just a few years, they were not even able to see 5 miles beyond their city. They had lost their pioneering vision. My friends, as we look at the presence of Jesus Christ, with a clear vision of what we can become through the power and presence of Jesus Christ, nothing is too difficult for us to overcome. But without that power and presence of Jesus Christ, we rarely move beyond our boundaries of comfort. Jesus asks you and me, "Who do you say that I am?" Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, with every step that we take this week, with every conversation we have, with every decision that we will make, with every action that we do, it will speak volumes as to how we answer the question, "Who do you say that I am?" Oh God, may we faithfully represent your Son, Jesus Christ, in the world. For it is in his holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 568, "Christ for the World We Sing."
Thank you.
gracious and loving God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world for the world. And you send us out into the world to be for the world as well. May your presence rest upon each and every one of us, O God, that we might be your faithful servants in all that we do, all that we say, and all our thoughts, our actions. May they bring honor and glory to you and to your kingdom as we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.